This is the Jim Lebo Show, where we're diving into the truth about CBD oil, its many uses, benefits, and life-changing capabilities. Here's your host, Jim Lebo.
And welcome back to the Jim Lebo Show. I am Jim Lebo, and with me today in studio is Wes. And Wes is a licensed therapist here in Fort Worth, Wes Parks, and we've had a pretty long afternoon talking about a lot of different things.
Yeah, but, we have covered a lot of really great stuff today.
Yeah, yeah, we really have, and I think that we've moved in some great directions, and I think we're going to move into ADHD, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with it. I personally, myself, have ADD, so ADHD, or however you want to say it, but... you know, and to be honest with you, with taking my CBD pills, you know, I think it has cut back a lot on the standard, you know, product that, you know, a doctor would give you, either Adderall or Ritalin or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of new products that are out there on the market today, but I would love to see that CBD could take more, because I think it would take away some of the issues that some of the people have out there, you know, with the product itself. You know, are you seeing, what have you seen in the studies from the ADH side? I know they did one in at the Cleveland Clinic, if I'm not mistaken, but.
The studies so far have been, it's relatively new to even be considering looking at CBD with ADHD. The most recent study was actually just a couple of months ago, and the results were not completely definitive. But what it did show was that there was some reduction in ADHD symptoms in the population that was studied with no cognitive impairment while using CBD. Now remember, cognitive impairment is what people's biggest objection to legalizing marijuana is. Oh, it slows us down too much. Oh, it makes us irresponsible. We don't pay attention. We move too slow. But what this study showed was no cognitive impairment and some improvement in ADHD symptoms. Now, the reason it wasn't definitive is because over multiple settings, the results were not consistent. Now, as somebody who studies science, not all science that doesn't pan out means it was bad science. It means we need to try again in different directions. We need to refine our approach. Maybe it's not going to pan out, but we haven't done enough research, and that was just in May of this year. So that's still relatively early, relatively new results, but it's still promising. It still shows potential. The Cleveland Clinic study, which I did not read in great detail, did show potential as well. So there is potential, but this is the newest area we're researching.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting area because we have millions of people with ADHD out there or labeled today.
And that's where, again, I come down to science. So I don't know if you've ever been in a doctor's office where they talk about ADHD, whether it's kids or adults, but they give you this checklist and you check which of these things happens to you. And then they total up at the bottom. And if the score is high enough on this 10 or 20 item checklist, we're going to write you a prescription.
Yeah.
At which point, you know, especially if it's a psychiatrist, I joke, I have psychiatrist friends, but I tell them, you know, it's really great that I know so many legal drug dealers, because to me, that's what they are. They're legal drug dealers.
Exactly.
But it's not even scientific measure to determine if somebody has ADHD. They're not doing scientific testing. Now, in my office, if you come to me and you say, hey, I think I have ADHD, can you tell me? We do testing. Right. We get actual data through multiple tests, and it is peer-reviewed data, it's publishable studies, and it's replicated over and over and over, where I am measuring your attention, your concentration, your inhibition, your response to stimuli over various settings. I get data, and then I determine if you actually have ADHD or not. So that's part of it, too. So when we're using this checklist thing, is it really a wonder that ADHD medicines are the number one or two number of prescriptions issued day after day, month after month, year after year in this country?
Yeah, so in other words, we don't have to drive by their house and look and see that half the bushes are trimmed and the fence is built and they have a half a shed built with no roof, and we realize that they have ADD because they started too many projects.
Right. We can look at real science and determine things, because some things are just personality. Some of us just aren't great about staying on task. I'm a great procrastinator, and I'm somebody who loves to move from task to task to task when I get bored. I don't have ADHD. I have me. Right. Should I be taking Ritalin or some stimulant? No, it's not clinically warranted. And one of the things that we're finding, as the drug companies have miraculously developed new versions of these psychostimulants, which are amphetamines, which are legalized versions of cocaine, let's call it what it is.
Exactly.
Now we take more than one. It started off with Ritalin, and it was for kids who really did have ADHD. It was a godsend. It was tremendous. But not everybody had it, but we put everybody on it. Now we're adding things to it. Now they take Ritalin and Vyvanse, or Ritalin and Concerta, or Ritalin and Strattera. Where does it stop?
Yeah, and some of them, you know, aren't, you know, Schedule 1s, and they probably should, you know, get them on the ones that are that versus the other side.
I would have to agree with that. But again, I think that becomes more of a political debate than a scientific or medical debate. That's a Justice Department issue there.
Yes, you're not going to win that one.
No way, no how.
So, you know, when you see, you know, ADHD in the study that was done, you know, with mm-hmm. dopamine, you know, obviously, you know, people that have ADD, you know, they can be sitting in a meeting and fall asleep or whatever it might be. They just don't have enough of the dopamine in the front to be able to, you know, sometimes keep them awake or whatever might be stimulated at that particular point. So,
right. So when we're looking at ADHD, we're looking primarily at dopamine transporters, DATs, in people with ADHD, and it looks like theirs are elevated. So maybe they're producing too much dopamine, or the dopamine receptors aren't absorbing enough reuptake. So mm-hmm. you put it out there, the vesicles release this neurotransmitter, dopamine. Does it get absorbed by the cell next to it? And these transporters may not be functioning effectively. And dopamine is critical in so many things. Dopamine is critical in depression, critical anxiety, exactly. critical in schizophrenia, ADHD. It may have a link to autism. We're trying to figure that out. So when you think about this, any form of mental illness you're going to have, it's probably going to come down to one of the big three neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, or norepinephrine. And we keep hearing dopamine over and over and over and over. Well, it's a big system. It's a big part of the system in the brain, including being a reward system. You know, you go gambling at the casino, ooh, dopamine lighting up, yay. So it affects everything we do day in and day out. And ADHD psychostimulants, here's the scary thing. When you look at the mechanism of action, you ask the pharmacist or the psychiatrist, why does it work? You know what the answer is? We don't actually know. It just works. We hypothesize how we think it works. We think it increases the efficacy of the neurotransmitter activities, whatever the heck that means. But we don't actually know.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of why, you know, ADHD medications are some of the most trafficked medications right now. You know, we get housewives, mothers who, you know, you've got four kids and you got a busy husband and your kids have all these activities. You don't have enough hours in the day, right? What do? You don't have ADHD. You get your kid's prescription, you pop it, you can stay up for 3 days. It's legal speed.
Right.
In a brain that is actually having ADHD issues, for whatever reason, it's almost paradoxical. It slows the brain down by introducing an amphetamine. But when you don't have that, it amps you up. So people absolutely misuse this. This is the most commonly misused class of drugs in America.
Yeah. Yeah, and you couldn't, you know, because, like, you know, if you had a person, say, that has depression, you know, so, you know, they have depression, and then, you know, you put them into a gambling casino, all of a sudden they get, you know, tons of dopamine and they go crazy.
Right. They feel great for as long as they're sitting there and we're stimulating the reward system.
Right. And the second they leave from that, you know, they're right back into the same spot.
Right. So dopamine is critical in everything that we do, and it's critical in ADHD too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I can't wait to, you know, there's only so many studies that we're going to be able to, you know, actually get into, because as you talked about, studies aren't cheap. We've worked, you know, in South America, we've worked with some hospitals down there to be able to do some studies so that we can get the clinical side of it and we can get a little better price, you know, to be able to do what we need to do to get the research that we need to make some of this stuff happen.
And I would imagine a little less pushback from people who might see their profits diminish by an alternative.
Exactly. Yeah, because they don't have, you know, their foot in the game.
Right.
You know, and that's the reason, you know, one of them why we went to Costa Rica to actually do the cancer facility down there. It gives us a lot more abilities to do some of the things that we want to do, to work a lot with the energy with inside the body, you know, what they're eating and putting into themselves, and teaching them, you know, how to reheal the, you know, the body and to change the mind and to change everything that happens to them. You know, so it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to be able to, you know, to get really. We're coming up to another commercial break. I know we got a couple more segments left, but we'll be right back with the Jim Lebo Show. And
the Jim Lebo Show will be right back. And we're back. Here's your host, Jim Lebo.
And welcome back to the Jim Lebo Show. And I can't tell you, it's been a great day here so far. We've got Wes Parks with us in studio today. It's been a wonderful conversation. We've talked a lot about a lot of different topics today. And Wes, you know, is a licensed therapist here in Fort Worth. He's been involved in a lot of different studies, has a tremendous amount of information. He's really got a good handle about really kind of what's going on in what, you know, I consider to be, you know, an industry out there today that's growing but has a lot of pushback. And I think that Wes would probably agree we take one step forward and two steps back, but...
Two, three, electric hustle back, you know, whatever.
Exactly, yeah. You know, so we're slowly getting to the spot to where we want to get. You know, we're talking a little bit about ADHD today, which obviously, you know, is a big topic out there, you know, no matter if it's, you know, related, you know, in the marijuana side or if it's just related, you know, in general, because they've labeled a lot of kids today that are going to be the future coming up behind us. On the effects of, you know, what happens actually, you know, from the marijuana side and what's been able to been seen out there. And why don't we, for the people that just maybe have tuned in now, why don't we give them a little catch up of what we talked about in the beginning on the little bit of the, some of the studies that you had seen, and we'll go from there.
Well, sure. So what we were talking about, for those of you who are just tuning in or people who, you know, we're taking copious notes, which we hope. Here's a little catch-up, a little primer for you. We're talking about ADHD, and one of the things that always concerns me about ADHD is this is a diagnostic label that is so easily applied to people without a lot of science, and that concerns me. Because when you put this particular label on people, the treatment of choice is medication.
Yep.
There are some behavioral interventions we can use for ADHD, but the reality is when brain chemistry hits a certain point, behavioral interventions are not as effective as a pharmacokinetic intervention, whatever that pharmacokinetic happens to be. So with ADHD, you get this diagnostic label, and the first thing people want to do is put you on medications, and the medications we use now are amphetamine derivatives. They're psychostimulants. Legal versions of cocaine, basically. They've been around for a long time. They've been studied. They're relatively safe. We started with Ritalin, and then we've added, you know, Vyvanse, Concerta, Strattera, things like that. And most of them impact the dopamine system, except Strattera. It's more about norepinephrine. So it's a little bit of a standalone all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But the others impact the dopamine system, and dopamine is tied to so many things. That's why ADHD tends to be co-occurring with other conditions like depression or anxiety, where dopamine is also tied. You get a lot of overlap, but, you know, symptoms, 10 symptoms can look like 15 disorders. So teasing out what's real and what's not, is it diagnosable or not? It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of reliance on science. And that's part of my concern with the ADHD is science says it's there. Science says it's real. We can see it on brain scans. But when you walk into the doctor's office, they're not employing science. They're employing this little checklist that your mom fills out or your teacher fills out based on behaviors they observe. There's no real testing. And they go, "Ooh, little Johnny got 7 out of 10. He's going to get Ritalin." That's concerning. Or you as an adult, same
right.
thing. You fill it out yourself. You don't really have a lot of context here. Okay, well, we're going to put you on Strattera now or Concerta. Without a lot of science, without a lot of good test data, that's concerning that you're introducing a substance to the brain that is a psychostimulant that we don't actually know why it does what it does with ADHD. It's paradoxical in nature like that. So you're basically agreed to be a guinea pig.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is, you know, we talk about in this country like doctor shopping and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny. It's like in some degrees we're not even doctor shopping because you go to your regular doctor and you get prescribed this, then you might go, you know, to a therapist like you, and then they're going to get, you know, they're going to get told that, you know, or, you know, a psychiatrist where they're going to, prescribe this medication for them, and then they go to another one. But nobody knows everything that they're all on. They say, "Hey, put down on there," but a lot of them don't even read it.
Right.
They're just worried about they need to move through to the next patient.
Well, and then you get people in my position as a therapist. I'm often the conduit for my clients between some of the medical professionals because you go to a psychiatrist. I see a psychiatrist. He's somebody that I trust. I really do trust him because he really does listen and he stays on top of science. He really, really does. I chose him for that reason. I investigated him very carefully. I also went to that website where you can see how much the drug companies are paying doctors. It's required by the FDA that that's reported every year. And you can go on, put in your doctor's name, and see exactly how much money they were given by the drug company for the last 2 years. And when the psychiatrist down the road from me had collected $600,000 as a consultant for one specific drug, that was problematic. And that was one drug. He had a long list. This person I go to doesn't do that. So I feel like he's not, you know, bought. And we talk about these things. We talk about these things. And when I go to him, I know him. I know that the follow-ups, it's 15 minutes. It's too quick. When you're in distress, you can't talk to somebody that quick and really communicate. And not all psychiatrists are as good as mine. They're not all great about asking the right questions. So I frequently become a conduit of, here's what's going on in my client's life. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what this person is seeing. Here's what maybe other people are seeing. If I have that information, what do you think we can do different? That helps eliminate some of the doc shopping with some drugs. But you're right. We can't eliminate all of it. And it's not really my job to do that. I can't be the police for everything. So I have to educate my clients. We have to talk about the risks and the benefits of things, just like they do when they go to the psychiatrist. And I get clients who come to me and say, hey, I'm on this medication. I want to get off of it. And usually it's an anxiety medication or a depression medication. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, here are some alternatives. Here are some things you can think about. These are conversations we need to have in my field because this is important. So when clients come in and they talk about, you know, ADHD, do I have it? Do I not? What do I want to do about it? We need to have frank conversations.
Right.
I like that, and I like them to be grounded in science.
Mm-hmm. And and it should be in science.
Absolutely. So what I think it helps is if you understand why this is such a big deal, because it is one of the most commonly diagnosed conditions in the country and one of the most commonly prescribed medications, and we might have alternatives. I think that's what your company is exploring, and you're waiting on scientific research to tell us.
Yes, and you know, we've got some great scientific people that look at it really from a whole different perspective. It's not about just putting a product out there, and as I tell them each and every single day, we need to constantly keep making the product better, okay, because it's going to affect differently, you know, how it is with the people. And we know that the product works well, and I would love to do, you know, the research into the ADHD. You know, I think it's very important. I think there's a lot of people that can get off of this particular product.
I know that I have had friends of mine, and I say this with a caveat, that this is not scientific peer-reviewed when I make this statement. This is anecdotal evidence only, and in no way should be construed as an expert opinion. But I have my own friends that take CBD products and get off of ADHD medications as adults.
Yep.
They have had better success. They've had fewer side effects. I can't ignore that. I have to look at what's the science behind it, and the science is lacking. We have some studies, one as recently as May of this year, that showed some promise. We had the Cleveland Clinic study we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Most of the studies that we're looking at don't involve people yet. They involve rats. And right. the studies we're seeing in the rats are showing some promise. They really, really are. So now we just need to move on to the human trials of some of that. And I'm really excited to see where that goes. But part of that, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, it's political. You know, we have political reasons why we don't want to study these things and why the government is against it. And that's when your listeners and your business associates and your friends and your family and your professionals should be lobbying about opening up science instead of closing it off.
Exactly. Well, and there's a lot there when it comes to that side. I mean, it's, you know, we have a lot of doctors in our family, and when you look at, you know, from the medicine side, I mean, they go to school, they look at it this way, they follow it this way, and they stay on that same path. And sometimes it's hard. You find a few doctors are willing to work outside the box. And then you find doctors that will just only, 90% of all of those doctors really only want to stay in that box. And it's sad to see that, you know, because of it, you know. And I think that there needs to be, you know, some change out there. And, you know, we're pushing that change. We're coming up on another commercial break. I know that you're going to stay with me for another segment.
Yep, I'll be here.
You know, but this is the Jim Lebo Show. I'd like for everybody to go to cleanleafpharma.com to see our products. And we'll be back in just a minute. Thank you.
The Jim Lebo Show will return shortly. And we're back. Here's your host, Jim Lebo.
And welcome back. It's the Jim Lebo Show. I am Jim Lebo, and I'm here with Wes Parks today. We've had a great afternoon. He's been here. I feel like I've taken up his whole day today, but we've had a wonderful, wonderful conversation of all different topics. And, you know, listen, my company is a CBD company. We make a phenomenal product. It works for all different levels between fibromyalgia, MS, you know, epileptic seizures, you know, Alzheimer's. I mean, every possible thing that you can think of, CBD is great for. And this is what, you know, we're trying to do with, you know, with my show is to make sure that we start educating the public out there about really what needs to happen with CBD, that your body has the receptors. You need to get this in as a supplement and protect your body before your body says to you, hey, something else. And this is where we're doing a lot of studies and a lot of different things. We've been talking before we went to break about ADHD, and we know that there's, you know, a lot that can happen out there that's not happening yet, but we're getting there. And
right, and I think one of the things that really highlights how little we know when we think about ADHD, you know, one of the most commonly diagnosed conditions and one of the ones that we write the most prescriptions for, we used to think that it was strictly related to dopamine transporters, dopamine pathway, just strictly that's all it was. You just had too much or too little. Now we have more sophisticated brain imaging science, right? Science in a picture, science I can see with my eye and somebody can point to it on a screen and it makes sense. And we're seeing that this actually involves I never say all these words correctly, it's really technical, the mesocorticolimbic dopamine pathway and the locus coeruleus neuroandrenic system.
Can you say that three times?
I could not say it three times. There's no way. So what this tells us is this is more complicated than we ever thought. Right. And so when we say that these psychostimulants work and we don't know why, and we say that, well, here's what we thought it was doing, and now we know it affects more areas of the brain than we thought, that tells me how little we actually know. Now, what we do know for sure is it has something to do with dopamine.
Right.
We got that. So our brains naturally produce dopamine. Our brains naturally produce endocannabinoids. Okay. Our brain naturally produces lots of different stuff. So what happens with ADHD is there tends to be a dopamine deficiency. And that could be caused potentially by an endocannabinoid deficiency. We don't know conclusively. But it is a distinct possibility.
It's actually a really good idea.
It's a possibility. So ADHD medications work by stimulating dopamine production, oftentimes overstimulating it. That's where dosing becomes important. You know, 10 milligrams was not enough. 20 milligrams is too much. Well, we need 15. And there can be side effects. You know, kids and adults who are on ADHD medication frequently don't want to eat.
Right.
Kills the appetite. Can cause mood swings. They can get headaches. They can get blurry vision. They can get dizziness, nausea, dry mouth, sweating. Some of them just get lethargic because it brings the energy level back down by re-regulating dopamine. So we know the medications work by stimulating dopamine production. We know ADHD is somehow related to dopamine deficiency. CBD also increases dopamine concentrations.
Yep.
Much like the psychostimulants. But it doesn't have the same side effects.
Yeah, because it doesn't have any side effects.
Right. So you don't have the, oh my God, I haven't eaten in 3 days and now I'm starting to be unhealthy and I'm risking damage to my heart, kidneys, liver, and lungs because I'm not getting enough nutrients and damaging my brain in other ways, because anything bad for the heart is bad for the brain. Good for the heart is good for the brain. Important note for all of our listeners out there.
And through the liver.
And through the liver. So CBD increases dopamine concentrations in a way similar to the prescription psychostimulants without all of the same side effects.
Which allows them to eat.
Which allows them to eat. It may help them stay calmer. It may help them sleep better. It may help them not have so many mood swings, because that sometimes happens. And when you think about ADHD, a lot of people, we're in positions where we can't take medications for every condition. Some people are in professions where they can't take medication. You can't be a pilot and be on an antidepressant or ADHD medication. You can't be a neurosurgeon.
Figured that one out.
Right? No. Not to say that they can be on CBD either, because there's problems everywhere you look. But for some people, they don't want to be on medications. For some people, the medications provide just too many side effects. Why wouldn't we consider something else? When you think about what happens when you have ADHD and you're unmedicated, your life is hellacious.
Yep.
You can't pay attention. You can't concentrate. You're impulsive. You have mood swings. You forget things. You get off task. You get in trouble at work. And even if you're not forgetting things, even if you're doing what needs to be done, you're often doing it at a slower pace than the people around you, which can get you in trouble at work. It can get you in trouble at school. It can cause problems in your relationships when you're having communication problems and mood swings. So untreated ADHD is a problem.
Correct.
Treating it with psychostimulants can be a problem. Why don't we look at alternatives?
Yep.
That's where we need more research and more companies like yours who step up and say, hey, here's a product that should be included in the research.
Yeah, one of the areas off a little bit of the subject area, but is the area that I'm really looking at because it really intrigues me, is bipolar, and which also helps very much with it, too.
But, bipolar, one of the most commonly missed diagnosed conditions, mm-hmm. because the symptoms of bipolar can look like about 8 other diagnosable conditions.
Exactly.
And, you know, we look at bipolar, and bipolar generally isn't one medication. It's usually two. You need a mood stabilizer and an antidepressant. So usually we're putting you on lithium and something else. And lithium has a very narrow therapeutic window. If it's too low, it's a problem. If it's too high, it's way too dangerous. You have to sometimes limit your activities because you can't sweat too much on lithium. You have to watch your sodium intake on lithium. There's a lot of problems with lithium until your body acclimates to it, and it requires constant blood monitoring to make sure you're in the therapeutic window.
Yeah, so I'm doing a study right now with a patient, and he's doing very, very well with CBD, and a mixture of the low end, the CBD side, as well as the hemp side,
mm-hmm.
and it's been controllable, and it's great to see that that we're seeing works with it.
Right. Now we just need to expand that study to 1,000 people,
yep.
and get more people on board with doing this research and the government funding this research, or even private industry funding this research like you're doing. I mean, you're having to pay for this out of your pocket. Big Pharma pays for it out of their pocket. They just have a lot deeper pockets.
Exactly. And they're looking to get in the business, too. They're not stupid. They know that, this is coming around the block, And this is a huge area, ADHD. It's a huge area in our country. There's a tremendous amount of those. I mean, the two areas, that I think that our CBD products are working the best for making the changes are the opiate side and on the ADHD side of the pills that are being taken. So I'd say that we're in a great position, in the long-term aspect of where it's going to go. And there's a lot of people that are looking at every possible area that they can, to get involved in. And that's why I say, when I said earlier in our other segment that I think it will come down to we will become the next pharmas of what happens out there, with patients and how we're able to do it. I'm looking to get into it as deep as I can because I want the deep pockets for the other people that are out there to make sure that these people are treated the right way that they need to be treated.
Oh, I agree completely because the number of my clients with various conditions, various diagnoses, either by my diagnostic label or somebody else's, that have stopped taking their medications and have started mm-hmm. going to other states to get some form of cannabinoids, and they come back to me and say, hey, I'm having better results. And some of it absolutely flies in the face of current science. Some of it makes zero sense, which tells me either they're an anomaly or we need more science. Or it could be a little bit of both. But the fact is, it's not one or two clients. I've had probably a dozen in the last 2 years that have foregone their prescription medications to use some kind of more holistic approach, usually that includes cannabinoids in some form or fashion, and come back to me and report good results. And I observe good results.
Well, and it changes that. I had one of my guys that uses our product. He called me up and he says, you know what? I took and I rubbed your salve lotion. I rubbed it at the bottom of my nose and it stopped me snoring. Now, I can't go out there, because it's working for him because we know and we're coming to the end of our show here. But anyway, I do want to thank Wes for coming on. It's been a wonderful day.
Thank you.
I can't thank you enough. And once again, this is the Jim Lebo Show, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Join us next time for another episode of the Jim Lebo Show. Jim Lebo is the president of Clean Leaf Pharmaceuticals. Shop the online store for CBD capsules, e-juice, lotion, and more at cleanleafpharma.com. cleanleafpharma.com.